Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sharpie Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And I'm Trevor Anderson, Billboard's chart manager slash editorial liaison.
And this is where we look at why what's on the charts is on the charts. Also put a historical context on the feats that are happening now. See if it's something that's never happened before, which we've seen in recent weeks with lots of Justin Bieber news. So as always, we'll get into chart news. Just obviously first, Trevor, have to talk about what a just sad, tragic week, obviously, this week with the news in Manchester.
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, there's nothing really you can say about it. It's just so unfortunate that such a loss of life, especially some of the victims who are coming out, you know, teenagers, you know, younger than that. What can you say? There's nothing you really can say.
Ariana Grande, obviously heartbroken, and it's sad to even see that by saying sorry, she almost feels maybe a sense of on some human nature level responsibility, which is really sad.
For so many people, this could have been their first concert, you know. I mean, just the city really to come out and have a good time. And yeah, for Ariana especially, you hope that, of course, she's able to work through this however she needs to. But yeah, I mean, in some sense, I hope that she doesn't feel responsible, but I could see where, you know, if it was me, I guess the fact that if you hadn't had this concert, people came to see you, you know, that's not your fault at all that this happened. But I guess in a way, maybe you feel like you put the situation together, at least for where it could have happened. And I mean, the next time that she wants to do something like this, you know, that's going to be hard for her, I'm sure.
And it's just sad that we keep having this conversation about, we keep saying the next time something like this might happen, and any time it happens is one time too many. Let's escape into what we do best, Trevor, and talk about silly chart moves.
We're gonna run away that quickly, Gary, yeah. from the world's problems?
Let's make people feel good with chart news this week. Lots to get to. Run down the top 10 of the Hot 100 as we do each week. New top 10 for Miley Cyrus. We're going to talk about that. Our guest this week is back, Lee Leipzner from Columbia Records, runs radio promotion. We'll be talking about more huge acts on the label. Last week, we talked about the Chainsmokers and a lot more, Harry Styles. We'll get into talking about Beyonce, Adele, more coming up with Lee here on the podcast. And we'll flash back to one of the most talked about artists at the Billboard Music Awards, Celine Dion, coming up here on the podcast. But first, here's this week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10. Number 9.
Just take your time. The clock is ticking, so stay. All you have to do is wait a second.
Number 8. Push me to the edge. Phantom, that's all right. Inside all white. Let's all day you ride a sled. I do want to have my brilliant man. A brilliant man. Everybody got to say. Number 7.
Chase a chick, never chase a bitch, chase no bitch, mask on.
Number 6. Number 5. Number 4. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. Last night you were in my time. Number 3. Number 2. And number 1.
Number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 for a second week. Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee featuring Justin Bieber and Despacito. Again, it's the first mostly Spanish language number 1 since Macarena back in 1996.
And hey, look at that. It's the same number 1 song again. We've had a pretty good turnover rate this past month, really.
Right.
And Despacito finally breaking the streak out there.
And actually looking like it maybe is going to be in for a bit. I think a lot of people thought when I'm the One, the other song with Bieber right now in the top 3, debuted at number 1. It could just be number 1 for weeks and weeks.
It feels like a very like in the moment song, but
huge at radio though. It's totally building at radio. Both yeah. songs are.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about Despacito feels more like people listen to the DJ Khaled song. I feel like when in my small sample size, like because it was like kind of a moment song, like, oh, this song is coming out, check it out. But Despacito had much of a slow builder, and I think that people just sort of when you found out about it, obviously the Bieber remix helped put it on people's radar, but it was less of a, hey, this song's out, okay, cool. And now it's like, this song is like, ooh, I like this song. It's like still out there. It felt like it had more
of a natural build.
Yeah, 100%. And but there's more of a grip to it.
It's also probably new to many people. I'm sure a lot of people found out about the song for the first time because of the Bieber remix. So it's almost like, yeah, it's been out for about 6 months or so, but it's also, to some people, at the same time, it's about a month old since Bieber joined on the remix.
Yeah, and people, you know, I think it's kind of an underestimated thing that, you know, the sounds of Latin music, and particularly people are always into that. I know some people are kind of worried if it sells in the United States or does well, but I think particularly among maybe the streaming generation that, you know, a lot of people who I would never suspect know Nicky Jam or Romeo Santos or people who I was like, you have heard of this person? Like, and you like them? Like, I think it's a little understated.
And going forward, what we're saying, how Despacito could be in for a run at number 1. It's up 11% in overall activity this week. I'm the One is up 2%. So it's taken over. I'm the One after that went to number 1. And now Despacito's lead is growing. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, it did its job. It was supposed to be number 1 hit. And so.
All right. Bookending the top 10. New top 10 this week. Miley Cyrus back in the top 10 for the first time since Wrecking Ball became her first number 1. Back in 2013, it's either her 8th or 9th top 10 on the Hot 100. She's been in the top 10 for all 9 of them, but she was Miley on 8 of them. She was Hannah Montana on 1. He could be the one.
He could be the one. He could be the one. He could be the one. Yeah, he could be the one. He could be the one.
The one person, Miley Cyrus, has 44 Hot 100 hits, 24 of them are by Miley Cyrus, 20 of them are by Hannah Montana. So she's in this rare club of artists who have had at least 20 hits on the Hot 100 under two completely different billings. I think maybe you don't realize that. For anyone keeping count, Miley leads Hannah in Hot 100 hits, 24 to 20.
Even if you take just the Hannah Montana section, which, again, I always forget how massive a pop culture thing was. I was kind of out of that age group by the time Hannah Montana came around. Hard for you to believe, Gary. I know, but
you're older than something.
I'm older than Hannah Montana demographic. I do remember, like, but I do remember "See You Again" and "Seven Things" getting Like, that was kind of that same era, getting a lot of rotation around just radio, just among fans and friends. But if you take Hannah Montana's 20 hits alone, so forget anything that was billed as Miley Cyrus, those 20 songs by themselves are still as many Hot 100 hits as a lot of really legendary artists. When we were talking people like ABBA, Al Green, Lionel Richie, Selena Gomez, who, you know, may have a couple more coming with his next album cycle. People like Shakira, even. I mean, that's 20 Hot 100 hits just as Hannah Montana alone. And then you add the Miley Cyrus, and that just jumps her to a whole other level.
And another act that's kind of funny that also had 20 hits, The Monkees. You're talking about another TV alter ego, Miley Cyrus and The Monkees, both 20 Hot 100 hits each. So basically, she's had two successful careers as one person. She's only 24 years old. So you talk about it, we're sort of calling this the 2020 club, acts who've had 20 hits under one billing and 20 hits as another. It's a pretty exclusive group of artists.
Obviously, I know the 40-40 club, the actual club. It's like down there on 23rd. Like Jay-Z shouts it out in like a lot of his songs, and he used to own it, I think, for a while.
I've never been let in. I don't know
about never gotten past the velvet rope, Gary.
So 2020 club, acts that have had 20 Hot 100 hits under two different billings. So really, absolute superstars. Michael Jackson, let's start with him, 50 solo hits. He also had 29 with the Jacksons. So talking about 79.
The Jacksons include the Jackson 5.
Jackson 5. Okay. So 79 total visits, 50 on his own, 29 with the Jacksons. Obviously, can't be surprised that Paul McCartney would be in this group. 71 Hot 100 hits with the Beatles, 46 solo.
Who else is in our 2020 club?
Diana Ross, another. Again, a lot of these acts who were huge in 60s and 70s groups went on to solo stardom. So Diana Ross, 40 solo after 31 Hot 100 hits with the Supremes. A little bit newer, the next two acts that we'll mention. Phil Collins, 27 solo hits.
Little bit newer.
A little bit into the 70s,
somebody
80s,
you kids may know.
Phil Collins, 27 solo Hot 100 hits, 22 with Genesis. And your buddy, you interviewed him last year, Lionel Richie, who we mentioned before, 20 solo hits, 20 with the Commodores.
Okay, now, there's some people I think that people may think are in the 2020 club, and they're not. And as I was reading this list earlier, before we even started recording this, the name that I was like, well, why did Gary not put Beyonce on here? Beyonce, surely, with Destiny's Child and her solo material, has to have 2020 hits, but apparently she does not.
Destiny's Child just didn't have that longevity, so they haven't had. But Beyonce's in the 50s for how many hits she's had solo, but Destiny's Child does not have 20 hits as a group.
I mean, I guess they only had four albums and a greatest hits and a Christmas album, but yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of forget how sort of contained their period was really between 98 and 2001, and then again in, you know, kind of the 03-04.
We talked about the Beatles, another act I thought could be a part of this, the Eagles. They had 21 Hot 100 hits, but none of the solo members have had 20 on their own. Glenn Frey, Don Henley, they fall a little bit shy of that.
Okay.
So Miley Cyrus in really superstar territory when you look at it that way.
She's also good on the BBMAs this past week. If you guys check that out, she did the country version of Malibu,
right?
Which seems like it could be something, you know.
The other thing that's kind of interesting too is obviously Miley is a real person. Hannah Montana is a TV character. Not many people who've had Hot 100 top tens as both a real life person and a TV character. Partridge Family, David Cassidy. Although David Cassidy was actually listed as a featured artist on I Think I Love You, but he had top 10 solo. Maybe one that's pretty comparable to what Miley has done. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince had a top 10 with Summertime. It's comparable, right? Will Smith, the person. Fresh Prince, the character. Garth Brooks as Chris Gaines, which
I
know people love to mock that, but his biggest hit on the Hot 100 was as Chris Gaines. That was his big hit, Lost in You.
Good for Chris and good for Garth.
The Glee cast, obviously, they hold the record for the most Hot 100 entries of all time, 207.
Drake is coming for it, though.
He might be coming for it. Lea Michele has charted solo, so there's Rachel Berry versus Lea Michele. Arsenio Hall has charted on the Hot 100, but not under his own. Well, the A was there. Chunky A. Do you remember that, Trevor?
No, hell no. What is Chunky A?
Chunky A was his.
Is this a rapper?
It was a comic rapper. I think he wore like a big puffy suit. It was like a heftier version of Arsenio Hall as a rapper. What do we make of Puff Daddy and Diddy?
That's just a name change. I'm just going name change on that one. All right.
Prince and the Symbol, same thing.
Yeah, that one's just more like a name change. Then you kind of get into that category, I guess, with like Chris Gaines and
right.
Garth of like the alter ego kind of thing. Like
Sasha Fierce, who's never charted.
Yeah, I was hoping that Sasha Fierce had, no, you know, she gave her something.
No, but. Sasha yet. Another one that it's sort of in its own category, but all related to this. Eminem has only charted as a credited artist as Eminem, but he's obviously had Slim Shady in titles, the Marshall Mathers LP. So his
and
various
LP too.
LP2, his various names have been out there, so you know, three different names for Eminem.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, most people maybe, I remember seeing a kind of documentary on this, that, you know, each of those names is a different sort of part of his personality, and they align with, you know, who he is in a sense. So that one, yeah, that one's a little interesting, because you almost kind of wonder, and maybe it's just they decided from a marketing point of view it was too confusing to have people not, you know, what is this Slim Shady versus Marshall Mathers kind of thing? But the fact that, yeah, that you know exactly who all of these people refer to, the same person.
Could see Eminem featuring Slim Shady and Marshall Mathers. Maybe they all take different parts of a song.
Yo, that's not a bad idea. If he did like a verse in like his Marshall sort of form and then a verse in his, you know, Slim Shady kind of like playful kind of, you know, nightmarish cartoon voice and whatever, that could be kind of hot.
And we should even mention of at least another term that is part of the whole Eminem name history. You kind of created the term Stan from that song.
Oh, yeah. People grabbed onto that, yes. I mean, it's weird.
Years later.
Stan has such a dark history in a weird way. It's kind of a dark song. It's a pretty dark song. Based on, you know, who Stan is. It's this fan of Eminem. If you don't know the song, check it out from the early 2000s. And, yeah, I mean, now everyone is known, you know, any super fan is a Stan. That's Slim Shady's influence on pop culture in ways that you never would predict.
And somehow we've just connected Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus to Chunky A.
Only on the Chart B podcast.
All right, let's get into this week's Industry Insider interview this week. Lee Leipzner, who runs radio promotion for Columbia Records, is back. This time we're going to get into so many more acts that we didn't get to last week when Lee was here. So we'll talk about Beyonce, Adele, Haim, one of my favorite acts. We'll get to all that here with Lee Leipzner now on the Billboard Chart B podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, let's talk about another major superstar on Columbia. That's Queen B, Beyonce. Her last album, Lemonade, obviously doing, you know, huge in terms of streaming. I mean, obviously the HBO special was another inventive way to put out an album. Kind of interesting that the album got so much reception in terms of social media and the video and everything like that, but didn't quite have the same sort of pop radio impact that her singles for a little while haven't. What do you think is the... Is up with the disconnect between Lemonade and some of the singles and pop radio grabbing on?
I don't think she makes records, albums to identify pop singles. She makes the art she feels. There's no greater artist than Beyonce. She is a tour de force. And I don't think she goes into anything now with like, that's a pop single, that's an urban single, that's a rhythm single. She puts it out, and if people play it, great. I don't think she has that mindset at all.
But what changed, though, after I Am Sasha Fierce? She had this whole run of pop hits. She actually hasn't had a top 10 at pop radio because her direction has changed so much. Was it a conscious decision that after Destiny's Child, after all these pop hits, she just decided to go more in that direction?
I don't think she consciously did that. I think she just was going to make music that she felt close to. I mean, you know, there was some pickup on Drunken Love on the self-titled record, and that was pretty amazing. But, yeah, I don't think she's out to not, you know, make pop records anymore. She just makes art that she feels comfortable and confident. And, you know, obviously people like it. I personally thought that was one of the – not because I work at Columbia. That was one of the greatest albums of this past year. It was just culturally so important that she made that statement. And a visual album, I mean, she's brilliant. She's nothing but brilliant. And I think – that we just, what we try to do is just respect what she's doing, respect the art, and just push out where we can. And she's good about that. She doesn't interfere what we want to do, but she's also like, this is what I do, and you guys take it from here, and I'm going to do what I do. And I think it all sort of comes together. And you know what? Urban radio, rhythm radio has been very supportive of her. And I think pop would love to play something for her. I mean, if I was a programmer, I would find every chance possible to play a Beyoncé record. Because I know the audience cares. I know they do. You can see it in consumption. You can see how people feel about her. And when she puts anything out, again, dramatic results. Yeah, the Beehive is very loyal to her. And I think that any chance we can get exposure on a Beyoncé record is a good thing. I just think for anyone who's programming or anybody who can play a Beyoncé record, it's usually a win.
Last time we were talking about Harry Styles, how sure. He went in a more adult direction that people might have been expecting, and Beyonce, where we're saying how she went more R&B on the last few albums. It sounds like Columbia pretty much overall doesn't interfere too much in an artist's direction. Are there times when you get an album and you say, where is the pop single?
It really, you know, our chairman, Rob Stringer, is so good with the artists. He's probably the most creative. He is the most creative executive I've ever worked for. He's a great leader. He doesn't really want to interfere. Now, people do ask us our opinions. We have a great partnership with a lot of the artists, and they trust us. And it's funny, even Billy Joel today says, I just gave them to Columbia, let them pick. They were pretty good at picking singles. I think that's what some of the artists feel like. But there is, like with Chainsmokers, it's collaborative. Beyonce, you don't have to tell her what to do. She knows how to A&R her records. She knows who to get to work with her. You know, we don't have to do it. If she has a question, she'll ask Rob. But with an artist like that, you just kind of step away and let her do what she does best. And then she'll leave it up to us on how to market it, how to promote it, and we'll go from there. And, you know, certain artists of that caliber, it's best to let them create their art and let them do what they do best.
Like we're saying, like, even though the singles aren't taking off at pop radio, like people may have wished, hoped, had been, the albums, it's not like they're flop albums. I mean, Lemonade not was the all. Best-selling album
be
around the world last
buzz
year.
Album.
Lemonade was a huge hit around the world.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Which is such a – no, I think people think it's such a disconnect that if she, you know, well, she can't have pop, but it's not – that's just one part of the game.
I think that's a great point because I do hear that a lot. But if you look around the world and you just talk to people here, like I said, culturally, the impact that record had and sonically and musically, it was all there. And, yeah, there might not have been a carved-out pop hit. I get that. Look, pop is very important to us. There's a lot – there's more stations of pop than any other format. I'd love to have a Beyonce pop single. But again, I don't know if it's ever going to be gift wrapped and just handed to me. I think you'd have to find it off the album, talk to your listeners, know what they want, and try to give it to them. But I think that's a really good point you made because the way that record impacted, again, globally, you know, it was a huge success. Huge success.
You've known Beyonce since the beginning for her Columbia run.
I mean, I've worked all her records.
Right.
Yeah.
Going back to Destiny's Child.
Yeah, I worked all Destiny records. Yeah.
How has she changed? What was she like when you first got to know her?
I don't have a lot of communication with her.
I Googled your name. Google Images. There's a picture of you smiling right next to her.
Yeah.
You know her?
Yeah, that was in Atlanta on the last tour. And she was lovely. She's always lovely when you see her.
Yeah.
And she's very approachable. Her life has changed a lot since Destiny's Child. And, you know, those girls did a lot of work in the old days. They did a lot. They were out there. They did radio shows. They did the early lounges. They sang everywhere. And you kind of knew, again, just like we were talking about breakout stars, you kind of knew she was a breakout star. And all my dealings with her over the years, whenever I have gotten a chance to speak to her, have been great. They've been wonderful. She's been very approachable. It's just, it's a big business now. She is a big deal. and rightfully so. She's worked very hard to get to where she is. You talk about a lot of B's on Columbia: Bruce, Bob, Barbara, Beyonce, Billy. I mean, think about it.
Right.
She's right up there. I mean, it's incredible.
The Columbias.
Columbies. Yeah, it's good. She's right up there. And, you know, one of the most important artists I think I've ever had a chance to work with.
So at the Grammys recently, it was people made it out to Adele versus Beyonce, but I guess for Columbia, it was going to be win-win either way.
It was, but it was also, you know, we it wasn't like we were happy, but obviously what Adele said was so heartfelt and so real, and she meant it. She truly meant what she said. That was not scripted. She felt that way. Rob and other people at the label said that that's how she felt even before the Grammys.
Yeah,
that was her favorite album of the year, by far. And yeah, we felt good that one of our artists won, you know. But you also knew that, you know, there was a little bit of a letdown because you knew somebody was not publicly saying they were unhappy, but it would have been nice to see that happen. I wish it was split in half because they both rightfully deserved it. And, you know, I think they got the album category right. It's just having both of them nominated was truly incredible. And again, I just thought what Adele did was, you know, was selfless and completely honest and authentic, and it was nice to see that.
What was it like working Hello? As big as it was that just easy radio? Here you go, or did it surprise you that it was that?
No,
big?
It did.
How early did you find out about it, hear about it? How long has it been in the works?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I got to hear it for the first time about probably 6 weeks before it was launched. When Jonathan Dickens, her manager, came in to play it for some of us, and it was mouth dropping. It was like, oh my god. You just knew. You knew it was going to change the world. And you do get those records that you're lucky to work in your career. That was one of them. You just knew. And you couldn't wait to play it for people. And Jonathan allowed us to go do that. We had some listening sessions in our office with some of the key radio chains and then going out on the road and playing it. And it was, you know, I was very thankful that everybody got it the same way. They were like, this is one of the most important records we're going to play all year. And they were wowed. They were floored. They were just like, oh my God, can't wait to get to this. And that's what you hope. That's what you hope would happen, because it's pretty amazing and special. But it came out pretty strong, and there was nobody holding back on that one. I didn't find anybody putting up any resistance on that one. That was a flyer.
Even four songs deep, it seemed like Water Under the Bridge. It recently had kind of a resurgence at pop radio. It seems to really be lasting at this point. What's behind that?
I think that we're finding out that radio is discovering that you got to give your audience a chance to catch up a little bit. They're way ahead on some of this stuff. And that was a fourth single from an album. But yeah, the early days were, it's not testing. It's not really happening. It's not popping. And then it went down and all of a sudden the research went up. And it was a resurgence. I've seen it everywhere. And I think we're finding that on a bunch of records now, that you just, again, when it comes to call out and research, it's the last piece of the puzzle. It's passive. You got to let people digest a little bit. Let them work into this. It'll get there. Again, you can't find a bigger artist as far as sales. What I love about her is that when you go see her, the tour was a monster success, because even though you're in an arena, you felt like you were right next to her. And you saw what a true talent she really is. I mean, she is the world's greatest singer. And she made an arena feel intimate. And I think that when you see that kind of response again, you have to realize that people love these songs. And when she did Water Under the Bridge, everybody was on their feet. It's one of those moments of the show. And sometimes you just want to take a snapshot of that and go, God, you got to get this. Look at this. But it took a minute. But yeah, it had a resurgence. And some people were like, I don't want to play a fourth single. It seems like it's old. Like, I always say this. You could sell 10 million records, which she did, and it's amazing and historical. There's still over 300 million other people in the United States that haven't bought it yet.
Right.
It's a lot of people to get to. And maybe might not know these songs. You think everybody has it. Maybe they don't.
But there's also no other fourth single being worked that has been on an album that sold just about 10 million copies. So it has that built-in
exactly
familiarity.
But you think that, yeah, who else would want this? Still a big audience out there. And every track is different. Maybe Water's the one that got them, you know, hooked them in.
Right.
Maybe it was. You know, it wasn't like all in on Hello. Maybe this was the fourth single that they needed to hear. And people are discovering the album still. And it's one that's going to be everlasting. This is that kind of album.
Potential fifth single?
No.
Or are you done? No,
it's done. Campaign's over. She is going to play Wembley Stadium four nights in June, that'll end the entire campaign. I mean, what a campaign it's been. Her manager is very, very sharp and very smart. He didn't want to overdo it. He knows when to pull out. It's time to stop. Don't want to milk it for all it's worth. He's not into that. She's going to take a break now. Keep it fresh. Don't burn out the audience on Adele. She's been around a long year. He's smart. He's very strategic about that. And he's one of the managers that really works on that. Really, he's very sensitive to that, which I think is great.
Probably too soon to know. But next album, do you know when it might be or what her thinking is at this point?
Have no idea. But you know what? When she's ready, she'll be ready. And I promise you it's going to be special as it always is. It's going to be unique and special, and it's going to be who she is.
Sorry. Do you think that that given, you know, especially how big the reception was the first week, breaking all these sales records, breaking all this traffic for, you know, just the song itself and then the album coming out, do you think that sort of, you know, take the pressure off for coming off the next album, that, okay, I've already got the records, been there, done that? Or do you think in a weird way now I got to go 4 million in a week, 5 million in a week?
Listen, if that happens, great, but the world changes. I mean, yeah, I don't think anybody sell 3 million first week. I mean, believe me, there was nobody in our room, in our conference room going, we're going to sell 3 million the first week. It's just that it started snowballing because people discovered Hello and they discovered the music and they loved it and the word of mouth spread. And she's so good on everything she does performance-wise and, you know, the special she did at Radio City. I can tell you, from knowing her, she doesn't go on an album thinking, I better sell that. You know, next album, she's already made history. She's going to make the best record for herself. And she's hopeful that the public responds. You know what? She would never go into a meeting saying, this better sell 4 million. I want to break my own record. She doesn't talk like that. They don't think that way. Yes, you want people to have it and you want people to hear it, but you want to do it the right way. And if that means breaking records, great. If it doesn't, cool. You know what? At least there's an audience for her and people care. That's how she is, and that's how we feel too.
Play that song, the one that makes me go all night long, the one that makes me think of you. That's all you gotta do.
Let's just ask you about three more acts.
Sure.
Columbia, Lee.
Please.
One is Train. Not often you're working with basically a 1938 Hoagy Carmichael song to top 40 radio.
A little Heart and Soul. I mean, it's a song anybody learns when they first take up piano and an instrument, and obviously it was made famous and big with Tom Hanks. You know, I got to tell you, Pat Monahan, he's not only a hard worker and a really good friend to myself and the label. He has been the front man for a while. He's the only original member left.
Right. They're amazing live. I saw them a few years ago. I didn't realize how good they are live.
He's really a world-class singer. Yeah. And people don't realize that. Yeah. Because, you know, some people think they might be hokey or they might not. It's a little corny. You know, but you go to a show and you hear 15 hits that everybody knows. And some of the biggest songs. Calling All Angels is brilliant.
Right.
Drops Jupiter, brilliant.
Talking about 20 years of hits.
That's
now,
what I'm saying.
Pretty much, right?
They're a real band that can walk out and play hits and songs that mean something. You know, Hey Soul Sister was, when the band was in disarray, you know, he left. He did a solo record that wasn't. Didn't make a big dent. It wasn't as successful as the Train project. It might have been a little premature to leave and take away the brand. But Pat's a smart guy. He was humbled, and he was excited to get the band back together. He wrote with outside writers. He wrote a hit song with a ukulele, and the rest is history. And he did it again with Drive By, and now he's doing it again with Play That Song, which, I mean, for us to be sitting top 25 on a pop format right now and out – lasting and out competing some of the other records that have come and gone says a lot about how, again, it doesn't matter what we all think. It's what the audience thinks.
Right.
And they love it.
I think at the show I saw, 50 Ways to Say Goodbye was actually the one that just maybe drew in the crowd the most. I don't know, because of the Spanish sounding instrumentation.
The mariachis.
Something about it.
And the wordplay. Pat's always been very good at wordplay. How can you not? It's hooky and it gets in your head and it's feel good. So when you go see a Train show and you spend time with Pat and the band, it's just all about the songs. It's nothing. There's no gimmicks. It's not going to be. It's not Kiss. There's no pyro. He's not going to fly over the audience. It's just great songs, audience participation, and just one of those nights where you hear a lot of songs that you love. But I couldn't be prouder of this campaign because they came back. They signed a new deal with Columbia, and Pat wanted to be with family, and that's us. And we've been with them from day one. And his work ethic and writing this song. We all knew. Ourselves and Crush Management, who are really good, when we all heard this song, we're like, there's something here. I mean, that Heart and Soul sample, and then you go into the song and you're like, it might annoy everyone, but it's going to get stuck in your head. And now there's a big campaign running on Smule, you know, the app, the karaoke app. There's a $1 million TV spot featuring Pat and the song with a lot of online influencers. And it's we already see a surge based on that. So it's exciting. And I like being a part of history with a group like this. Don't ever underestimate Train, kids. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't ever rule them out.
Calvin Harris, new album, June 30th. Slide doing really well. As we're taping this, it's on its way to becoming his 10th top 10 hit on the pop songs chart. Yeah. People might not have realized that he's had that many hits all this decade.
Well, it's funny. I don't think a lot of people know to piece all these together, all these songs, because he's not the most visible artist.
Right.
He is a genius in the studio. But he's also very personable and very funny when you see Calvin, like when you talk to him. He's got his finger on the pulse. He knows what he's doing. But he doesn't do any. He doesn't really do TV. He doesn't really have a band yet. He DJs in Las Vegas and he makes his appearances, but the songs are the breakthrough, and those are what really cut through. But I was thinking this the other day when I was talking about Calvin. You know, if he ever got all these features and people out with him, it'd be a greatest hits collection already.
Right.
That's how many good songs he's had, and I think that's what people miss, because he's not out front and he's not the most visible artist. You know, he's on socials, but he's not going to post every minute. It's usually pretty something substantial or something he feels. But I really believe that people are sort of waiting every step to see what else he's going to do, because this music with Slide, I can tell you the album, I don't know if you saw, Gary, the lineup, the rollout of all the artists, the features. It's like a movie premiere. I mean, if you're not interested in that record after seeing that lineup, I don't know what will get you interested, because he's got so many great artists from the hip hop community, from the rhythmic community, Katy Perry.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a little bit of everything, and he's the only artist I know that can possibly make Frank Ocean sound mainstream.
I was going to say, last time we were talking about Chainsmokers giving Coldplay their biggest radio hit, Calvin Harris has given Frank Ocean his biggest Hot 100 hit and a real presence on pop radio.
You know, and Frank is such a unique artist and very creative in his own right, but the fact that Calvin could bring this out of him, I think, is amazing. And the songs that we've heard, I mean, I've heard the album, and it's going to be, if you want the perfect playlist for your summer party or barbecue, just put on the Calvin Harris album, because that's what it is. It's just a run through of just amazing music. It's not the DJ stuff. It's very much now more instrumentation, more musical, much more rhythmic, and boy, does it work. I mean, he's the only one I know who could put Katy Perry, Pharrell, and Big Sean on a record, and it works. It's incredible. The collaborations he's put together is pretty incredible.
Should we read anything into Katy Perry's on the album after the Calvin Taylor romance?
This is what you came for.
Oh, God, please, guys. I'm not commenting on that. Me? I don't. No, I don't have any comment on that. Makes for good talking points, but not with me. I don't know anything about that.
You didn't hang out at the mansion in Newport with Taylor and everybody?
No, I met Taylor once at Kiss's Wango Tango. Calvin was playing the show, and we have Haim on the label, and they're very good friends with Taylor. And she was with Calvin at the time, and she came to support him, and it was great. I mean, you know, you can talk hours about her talent. She's amazing. But, yeah, they were all together, and it was fun seeing them. It was great that, you know, they all supported each other. It was cool.
So it's on a Calvin Harris, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift triple collaboration.
Gary, I'm not a betting man, but I don't think that's going to happen. Not anytime soon. Things are long forgotten. Some things were never said. We were on one endless road, but I had a wandering heart. I said we were.
You mentioned Haydn. That's the other act.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about, are you working the new song, Want You Back, to pop radio? Is that in the plans?
It will, yeah, eventually. It's funny, we're starting to pick up. We're starting with Alternative AAA and Hot AC. It's funny, that group has no format, but has all formats.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're super cool. Like Pitchfork will do a review about them. So they're not, you know, they're still in that world. They're still can headline a festival. They're so well received by press, by radio, by media. So there's a lot to look forward to. Social media, they've been fantastic. They are really talented. Those girls are truly fun to be around. They've been in the studio for a while. Everyone likes Haim. Everybody's sort of in that club. And it's great to have music out. It's been a while. And we're glad they're returning because there's so much of an upside of where this can go. Because there are no barriers to a group like this. And if you spend time with the three of them, they are a hoot. I mean, they are. The three of them together, it is, you know, you're like, you can just wind them up and watch them go.
Yeah.
Because they all play off each other's words and they're very close and very musical. Again, these girls are smart. They're smart in the studio. The live shows are really good. They're just tailor-made for this. They were built for this business. They were built for being musicians.
Yeah, it's exactly what you said. I'm always puzzled why they are so big pop culture-wise. They just haven't had that. Are they too sophisticated for pop radio? Maybe a little
bit. We got a little bit of a bite last time on pop radio.
Forever.
We made some inroads. Yeah. And I know they have big fans at radio. People are rooting for them. I don't know if it's sophisticated. I just think, again, they're not a pure pop group, even though there's poppy songs. I like that. I mean, today we're just talking about it. All the rock channels at Sirius added the song. So XMU, Spectrum, and Alt Nation all added it. That's incredible. I love that reach. Love it. Love that they did that. And then you get, you know, other good AAAs, other good alternative stations, some hot ACs already on board, and you'll see where the record takes us. Where it takes the audience.
I like that they worked with the same people on the new album that's out in July. They're keeping their sound. It's not like they said we want to go for a hit with a featured role or anything. They're staying true to themselves. Is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I like that too, Gary. I think that was important because it's been a minute, and you didn't want to completely change course of direction here. But again, with Haim, it's another group that you don't need a lot of coaching. They know what to do. They know how to make music. They're good in the studio. They took their time. And they're finally ready to, make a statement around the world because that's another group that's very global. You know, they're not signed to Columbia throughout the world, just North America, but we work with the other territories and we all have a similar plan. And, you got to work. The world's big, but it's very small these days, especially when it comes to music. And you kind of have to be on the same page. But the good news is you can also find out now what people like. If it's not this song, there might be something else and you might find that hidden gem because, the girls are going to be asked to license for a lot of syncs. They're just built for that stuff. And something's going to pop. And that's the beauty of Haim because every platform wants a piece of them because they're built for that and they're good at it.
Congratulations on all the success.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
When the world seems so cruel and your heart makes you feel like a fool, I pray.
All right, so 25 is done, Gary.
I know, big news, right?
One of the things I think that people like about Adele, and one of the reasons I think she's a big success, is that she knows, not to milk the album for every cent that it's worth. And I mean, it's already sold, of course, a zillion copies.
Yeah, about 10 million at this point.
Yeah, just in the U.S. alone, obviously, right. Worldwide doing as well too. Got her a bunch of awards, plenty of Billboard Music Awards, obviously the Grammy that I'm sure that. She wanted but didn't want at the same – she's happy that she got but maybe didn't want at the same time.
The Columbia Grammy. We'll just call it that.
Yeah. The Columbia Grammy doing the triple crown there. And I think that, for some artists, that would be almost an indication of, oh, my gosh, get more. They want more. And she's, very, very secure in that. She says she's going to wrap up the tour at the beginning of July
right. In
London and, just settle down, go home.
And that was a piece of Remedy, a song co-written with Ryan Tedder. Got a little adult alternative airplay when the album was out back in 2015. So maybe could have been a fifth single. But as you just said, Trevor, seems like sometimes knowing when to leave people wanting more can be the right decision.
For sure.
For all those times you stood by me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrong that you made right.
And Gary, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a huge event for us here at Billboard this past week, the Billboard Music Awards on Sunday. Huge night for Drake,
right,
in particular, taking 13 awards, breaking that record that Adele had set when 21 was taking over the charts. He got 13 awards, the most that anybody's gotten in a single year. But a lot of the talk was really about Cher and Celine Dion, who came down the strip at Vegas to sing My Heart Will Go On for the 20th anniversary of Titanic, 1997, this fall. It'll be 20 years since that song and that movie took over the world.
I felt like the audience was really reverential about Celine. Like, this was a big moment that it was just so cool for everyone to be in her presence, to hear such an iconic song to be done live. You just remember at this point from being back in the 90s, but to hear it live, it must have just been just like taking you right into the feel of the movie.
Yeah, and I think, you know, of course, it's one of those songs that people love, and especially people in my generation really love, but a lot of us, you know, you remember it, but you don't, I guess, get the gravity of it or the iconic sort of weight that the song had, especially Leo and Kate are now these huge stars. The movie did so well at the box office. It's sort of this quintessential love story. And, you know, we were like 8 or 9 at the time, so we didn't – I don't think people got it.
We
the millennials. But, yes, so Celine Dion performing My Heart Will Go On from Titanic, so obviously one of the biggest movies and the biggest soundtrack singles we've ever seen. But, you know, it's funny because that's not the only really movie success Celine Dion had in the 90s with My Heart Will Go On. She had Beauty and the Beast way back when the song came out in 92.
Right.
But she also had the song Because You Love Me from the film Up Close and Personal, which was another number one hit for her. And really one of her biggest hits of all time.
People might not realize that it actually had more weeks at number one, Because You Love Me, on the Hot 100 than My Heart Will Go On.
And it was sort of a record-setting number one in a way, because it chopped off One Sweet Day after 16 weeks at number one, which is still the chart record. But yeah, huge hit for her, helping propel that next album that she had, Falling Into You, way up the charts. Won her the Grammy for Album of the Year as well. So really, you know, one of the biggest adult contemporary hits really of all time. And, you know, Celine was queen.
Yeah, that album had three huge hits. Because You Love Me, written by Diane Warren, who wrote so many hits in the 80s, 90s, written for Lady Gaga in more recent years. The follow-up, It's All Coming Back to Me Now, written by Jim Steinman, who wrote a lot of hits for Meat Loaf, wrote Making Love Out of Nothing at All for Air Supply in the 80s.
And it was supposed to be, I guess, I think It's All Coming Back to Me Now was supposed to be a Meat Loaf song at some point, from what I read. You know, it had kind of drama to it. Oh, for sure. And it was kind of languishing a little bit in obscurity. Celine, I think, just grabbed it kind of at the right moment. And trust me, that is, again, one of those songs that you would not think that many people who weren't around at that time know, but the youth, these millennials, like, that is one of the epic power ballads of all time, especially if you go to karaoke. It's a 7.5 minute song, so it's really long.
Yeah, you're not just singing that song.
100%. You have to give it especially just the leaps and the trails and the vibrato, and yeah, that requires a lot of effort. I wouldn't know anything about that, but maybe once in a while.
Maybe like a Ludacris and Vanessa Hutchins here. Do your impression of Celine Dion, Trevor.
You can cast that on the extended version of the Chartbeat podcast, posting exclusively nowhere. But yeah, the third single, All By Myself, again, another one of the classic Celine, you know, repertoire, huge voice, huge presence. I mean, another adult contemporary smash, top five hit on the Hot 100. You know, Celine was the ballad queen, really.
Yeah, it really set up the stage so perfectly for her to do My Heart Will Go On, for that to be such a hit. Just so many things came together for a long time. The biggest movie of all time, with an artist who was maybe absolutely one of the biggest artists, right at the apex of her chart career. And it really, it's the 90s, kind of that heyday of all those big diva hits, from Mariah to Whitney, Celine. That was the time for that.
Yeah, and in particular, on soundtracks, I mean, their own albums were successful, obviously, as well. But for, you know, you've got, I mean, When You Believe, even though maybe it wasn't the biggest chart hit that people would have expected, it only got to number 15 on the Hot 100, still won the Oscar, and if nothing else, gave us the one-time collaboration of Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, that so many people had really clamored for and thought never could happen.
The one song we can agree on is me, the bigger Mariah fan, you're the Whitney fan.
it's no big deal. The Whitney is credited first, and the Whitney sings first, and, you know. But, yeah, between all those soundtrack hits in the 90s, really a great time. And it's kind of interesting because it kind of waned after a while. I'm not sure. I don't know if maybe When You Believe not being quite as big a hit kind of deterred people. Obviously, the sounds that were, you know, teen pop coming through and hip-hop taking over the radio.
Yeah, I think it was more that. Just the sounds of pop music changed.
Yeah. Definitely took over, you know, in the early 2000s. But, again, I guess it all kind of comes back to Adele in a little bit, I think, especially with Skyfall and particularly her writing the song. You know, she won the Academy Award for that, Golden Globe for that as well. Kind of has rejuvenated some of these major stars really getting into recording soundtrack songs. We've seen in the past couple of years Justin Timberlake nominated for the Oscar just this year with Can't Stop the Feeling that he wrote with Max Martin and Shellback. You've seen, like we said, Adele, Skyfall winning the Oscars, Sam Smith.
Like we were just saying, for a period in the 2000s, some more obscure singer-songwriters, some Americana stuff, some
older artists, yeah. Too. Like Melissa Etheridge, you know, got her Academy Award in the mid-2000s as well. But yeah, I mean, a lot of studio musicians or people who are more known for compositions and composing and more classical music.
Not that one's better than the other, but just in terms of chart position, we're seeing now more bigger hits in that category again, like it used to be.
For sure, for sure. And it seems like, especially, you know, that now that people have seen that, hey, you know, maybe I can at least get up for the Oscar if I, you know, can write a song. It also, of course, bridges that gap between albums that we've seen, you know, hold on so well for a lot of people. Justin Timberlake has kind of, you know, fed the appetite for a little while before his next album comes out, so it gives him a little bit of a break. I mean, Pharrell with Happy nominated as right. well just a few years ago. So
maybe the only thing left for Bieber to do at this point.
I was, you
big
know,
soundtrack hit in between albums.
It could be Bieber and, of course, Taylor as well. You know, she's written a lot of songs for soundtracks already, Safe and Sound from The Hunger Games with the Civil Wars.
The Zayn song a few months
the
ago.
The Zayn song that we saw as well, Eyes Open. So definitely, you know, could be on her radar as well. But someone's going to have to go a long way to top out on Queen Celine. She's got at least 3 top tens from movies. So definitely the soundtrack queen seems like of the era.
Well, she sounded great, as really did everyone at the Billboard Music Awards. Next week on the podcast, we will talk to Andrea Dresdale from ABC Radio, who was backstage. Said she has some fun backstage stories of people she talked to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just drop any names?
No, we'll get the inside scoop next time.
Okay. And of course, as you guys start to fire up the grills and all this for Memorial Day weekend, we'll be firing up our Song of the Summer chart here at Billboard as well, tracking the hottest song of summer 2017. Andrea will be talking about some of the early predictions that some of the insiders that she's talked to have been talking about. Maybe the Khaled song, maybe Despacito, of course, is in the conversation as well, and maybe some songs on the lower reaches of the chart that may be bubbling up, you know, come 4th of July all the way through Labor Day.
Yeah, we're going to dig deep into some songs that are building, some songs that are brand new singles, could be singles. So we'll look into all that next week with, again, Andrea Dresdale from ABC Radio. I guess we should close, Trevor, with the one song we can agree on, When You Believe.
Bye, guys.
There can be miracles when you believe.
When you believe.
Oh, hope is rare. It's hard to give.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.